Secrets of the Sire. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Secrets of the Sire. We talk comics, movies, TV, and pop culture every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, streaming live on secretsofthesire.com. You can find us on YouTube at Secrets of the Sire and Facebook at Secrets of the Sire. Check us out on Twitter at Sire_Studios. Tonight, round two of our mega movie, March Madness, featuring Marvel movies. Try saying that five times fast. Avengers versus the Field, Winter Soldier versus Infinity War, and is Black Panther an upset special? Plus, it came from the radio's Mark Torres, interviews Transformers voice actor Greg Berger, so we've got a great show. I am your host, Michael Dolce, and if I sound a little hoarse, it's because I am back from C2E2 convention, and I still sound like this. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, the Lord of the Radio himself, Mr. Hassan Godwin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right.
You sound a lot better than I do.
Well, because I haven't been yelling all weekend.
Convention voice is a thing, fellas. Yeah, convention voice is a thing. But
I remember it well.
Yeah, we had a tremendous C2E2 show, though. We launched Sire Studios officially. We sold through pretty much all of our inventory, which was my goal. So coming home, there was a lot less Sire books and mainstream books in the luggage than when I got there. Still somehow needed to check four bags. I don't know how that happened, but all right. Tonight, Hassan, you're going to do most of the talking because I am hoarse. Oh. But we are basically taking this round two. So March Madness, for anybody who is not sports familiar, there is a bracket of 64 teams. They all get seated in a certain bracket, and then they are pitted against each other in the actual real game of basketball. For our purposes, we're doing 16 teams, and last week we seeded the tournament, and we left it up to you guys out there to go to @Sire_Studios on our Twitter handle and vote for who you thought should move on into round two. And from here, we're going to take it from here. Okay. Just a recap for everyone involved. We eliminated, out of the 21 Marvel teams that we were trying to seed, so this is the Marvel March Movie Madness bracket. There's 21 Marvel films. It's all leading up to Endgame next month. Really excited. Last week, we eliminated Thor Dark World from the tournament. Iron Man 2. Thor, which, again, up for debate on that one. The Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 3. They were all not even eligible for the tournament. Okay, so out of 21 movies, those were out of the tournament right off the bat. We launched the Pat Shand bracket, which consisted of his number one seed, his favorite Marvel movie of all time. Pat Shand is a freelance writer. Go check out his Kickstarter for Little Girl going on right now. He's also been on a host of the show or a guest on the show upwards about four times now. So we base it all on our most frequent guest collaborators. And we were able to pin a bracket that had Avengers taking on Avengers 2, Ant-Man and Wasp versus Guardians of the Galaxy. Posted that up on Twitter. In the Darren Sanchez bracket, we had his favorite movie was out of the whole mess with Civil War. Darren is the custom comics editor at Marvel Comics, so he's got a little bit of a stake in this here. It's to see which one comes out on top. Civil War is taking on Ant-Man. Our number two seed, Spider-Man Homecoming, taking on our number three seed, Doctor Strange. So we asked all of our participants to give us their favorite film as the number one seed. The rest we actually ranked based off of the critic Metascore. And that's how we ended up filling the rest of the brackets in. So a little bit of fun, a little bit of random data, and this is what we came up with. In the Starlight Runner bracket, we had their favorite movie was Winter Soldier. The Starlight Runner is a transmedia company led by Jeff Gomez, who has been a frequent guest on our show, and he's awesome. And one of the folks that he works with at Starlight Runner is Fabian Nicieza, co-creator of Deadpool, does a lot of writing for them. They build story universes out, so they were actually working with Avatar and Men in Black, and they've done tremendous work. So Winter Soldier was their collective hive mind pick for the best Marvel movie in the cinema universe. They have an interesting bracket, though. In fact, I think they had the toughest bracket. They had Winter Soldier versus Captain America First Avenger, my personal favorite. And then they had Iron Man taking on Infinity War. Infinity War was actually number three, the three seed. It was a lower seed than Iron Man and in Winter Soldier because it got a lower Metacritic score. And again, Metacritic is just an aggregation of all critics' ratings across the internet. And Infinity War just happened to not be ranked as high as some of the other as some of the other films in the brackets. Finally, Victoria Bennett Bevin from the Adultish web series and podcast. She got her bracket. Plus, you know, we're a big fan of diversity here, so we wanted to make sure it wasn't just a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
Female, get the female voice in here. She loved Thor Ragnarok. And the rest of her bracket filled out with number two seed Black Panther, number three seed Guardians of the Galaxy 2, number four seed Captain Marvel. So Thor Ragnarok versus Captain Marvel, Black Panther versus Guardians of the Galaxy. Then we took this bracket and we put it out into the interwebs and asked you guys out there to help fill it in. And this is what you came up with. In the Pat Shand bracket, Avengers emerged over Avengers Age of Ultron, which is right up until today. So now here's the funny thing. We actually, the poll has gone all the way to today. However, for the purposes of putting the show together, we need to have the results in on Monday. So these results are as of Monday because we're putting the show together and we can't talk about something we don't know what the outcome is going to be. So, sorry, I messed up when I set the polls. I should have ended the poll at 8 o'clock Monday night. I let it go till Wednesday. So if you go and check our Twitter feed and it's like, hey, wait a minute, how come this doesn't look exactly the same? Well, because I screwed up. That being said, it's a cutoff of Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Avengers could be taking on Guardians of the Galaxy. Age of Ultron fell. Ant-Man and Wasp rightfully fell because it shouldn't even have been in this tournament. Terrible, terrible movie for a Marvel standard film. So Avengers versus Guardians of the Galaxy in the Pat Shand bracket. Okay. Then, moving on to the Darren Sanchez bracket. This one was actually pretty interesting. We had our first upset. Spider-Man Homecoming, the number two seed, knocked out. Civil War got 50% of the votes. Doctor Strange followed with 40% of the votes. Actually, just all seems to be working out very nicely in our favor to do this accurately bracket style. Civil War taking on Doctor Strange. All right, now moving on to the Jeff Gomez, Fabian Nicieza, Starlet Runner bracket. This one was all Infinity War, which is a second upset of the tournament so far. Up until a few hours on Monday, Winter Soldier crept in there and got a little bit of the vote. So Winter Soldier's taking on Infinity War. Now, we're not relying on these polls to take us to the next round. We're going to leave it up to me and Hassan to do that. However, this is just to get us to where we needed to go. So you guys out there, you know, you played the role of the actual game. All right, and finally, the Adultish bracket. Thor Ragnarok and Captain Marvel tied. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, nowhere to be seen, 11%. And Black Panther, 0%. 0% for Black Panther. So major upset. Black Panther will not move on. Thor Ragnarok and Captain Marvel actually played each other in the bracket, so I'm going to actually reseed Captain Marvel to a 3 seed. I'm going to reseed Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to the 4 seed. This way it kind of works out in our favor. There's only so many limitations to doing Twitter polls to, you know, making this thing happen. So I'm asking you to bear with me on that. And if you see on screen, I am, boop, there you go. The bracket has been reseeded just slightly so that we get the accurate count. So Thor Ragnarok over Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Captain Marvel in an upset over Black Panther, moving on. All right, Mr. Hassan, my voice still hurting, even though I've been back a few days now. I need you to take us to the next level here. The first contender of the block, Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. Which one should advance and why? And before you answer, I keep telling you you're going to answer and you're going to talk, but I'm still doing all the talking here. No, we're not just talking about the best film. The criteria for this, I think, because we're leading up to Avengers Endgame, is what's a more important film to have seen? Now, we can go with what the best film is. It's going to be a kind of an amalgam of all of our, you know, of you and I, our opinions on these films as to what we enjoyed the most, what we thought was the best, you know, maybe most well executed. But I want us to really weigh in heavily as one of the criteria for moving on. How important is the film to Avengers Endgame, which is coming out at the end of April?
Oh, wait, I can talk now?
That's generally what the dead air is all about.
And the two choices are between the first Avengers.
Correct.
And Guardians, and the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
The first Guardians of the Galaxy, yes.
And the criteria is not which I enjoyed more, but which one was more important to Endgame, which is the movie that is coming out next month.
I want you to, it can be both enjoyment, but I also want you to weigh in what you think is a more important film, and ultimately weigh in that to get to your vote for who should move on in this tournament. If I guess we could almost call this our Endgame tournament. Ooh, bing, there you go. It's going to be our Avengers Endgame March Madness tournament now at this point. So yeah, I mean, which film is more vital? I mean, you have the original Avengers. I mean, there's nothing more vital than that, and was executed really, really well. Guardians, I don't know.
Well, you just kind of, you just weighed in.
I know.
You just said there's nothing more important than Avengers. So thanks for that.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just kind of setting you up a little bit here. We're going to try to have this discussion now. It's going to be very exciting.
Oh, really? I'll go with Avengers.
That's more. So we need to see Avengers before we need to see Guardians, because I'm actually going to say Guardians sets the stage for the whole cosmic universe, doesn't it?
Yeah, but which one is more important than the other?
You know what's
still without Avengers, you don't even get to Guardians, right?
Because well, without, I mean, all right, yes, chronologically speaking, correct, but the events of it, obviously, right? It kicks off Thanos. Wanting to even come to Earth,
but Thanos' first attack on Earth, it establishes Thor, and it establishes Captain America, establishes Iron Man, establishes Black Widow, the Hulk, Hawkeye as all part of the Avengers, right?
No, it doesn't establish Iron Man. Iron Man already had his film.
No,
Captain America did.
No, you're not listening. I said it establishes them as part of the Avengers.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
It establishes them. It establishes the Avengers in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that be more essential than the Guardians of the Galaxy?
I mean, I think you're right. I think also if this was an Infinity War bracket, my vote would actually lean more toward Guardians, because they played such a huge role in Infinity War and setting up the relationships. But this is Endgame. Mm-hmm. And I think the final components
of
Endgame.
And they're all dead.
Right. So I think you are 100% correct. Now let me ask you a question. What's a better film?
Better. What's the criteria for better being better?
Your own personal opinions. Your own personal opinion.
I enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy more than I enjoyed Avengers.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. So you're going. This is why you're a professional, though. You're going with your objective opinion versus your feelings here.
If you're talking about which movie is more important,
yeah,
then you have to say Avengers, because it's the one that kickstarted the entire thing.
Yeah,
it's the one that establishes the Avengers.
Yeah,
it's the one that establishes S.H.I.E.L.D. and the S.H.I.E.L.D. being adjacent to the Avengers,
mm-hmm.
and in context. Nick Fury being adjacent to the leadership of the Avengers. It establishes Loki being in league with Thanos. It establishes Thanos' first attack on New York. It establishes Thanos' decision, to keep the Avengers on his radar for the next 10 years, right? For the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
It establishes pretty much everything. It establishes the Avengers. You can't have Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame
Right.
Which implies the end of the Avengers without having the Avengers in the first place.
Okay. It also has two words, Hulk smash, which just makes it amazing. Did you enjoy Guardians more because it was less to expect? Because I am actually going to say Avengers is a better film than Guardians as well, and deserves to move forward, because I think overall what Avengers was able to accomplish as a film itself is extraordinarily difficult. Guardians had the luxury of who the F are the Guardians, right? I mean, they have very rare, very little history in the comics.
Wouldn't you consider that actually more difficult to be a success, since nobody knows who the hell that they are?
And no,
now you have to, not only that, the Avengers is coming from, the Avengers is urban fantasy. The mm-hmm. Avengers is coming from a world that we already know, mm-hmm. that the rules, we already know what the rules are. We already know where the locations are. We already know what S.H.I.E.L.D. is. We already know who these characters are. Whereas the Guardians of the Galaxy, you got to set up Peter Quill. You got to set up Gamora. You got to set up the universe. You got to set up Xandar, right? You got to set up all these worlds that you got to build in order to make the Guardians of the Galaxy make sense. And you also have to imbue it with vivacious characters and a lot of heart, so that we understand the stakes,
yeah,
and that we're rooting for them by the end.
Yeah.
I would actually say Guardians of the Galaxy is a harder movie than the Avengers, because the Avengers arguably has been being set up since Iron Man.
Right.
And Guardians of the Galaxy just kind of dropped out of nowhere. There was no setup for Guardians of the Galaxy, with the exception of Thanos.
I think everything you just said was correct. I think everything you said is very valid.
Uh-huh.
I still think you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think there's something when you're writing a film, or when you're writing a movie, or writing a comic book series, when there is no expectations, you can mold the clay very easily.
That would be your opinion, but okay.
Secrets of the Sire. All right, moving on. So we're going to be unanimous, though, in that Avengers moves on as the more important film. Correct?
Yeah.
All right. Bracket number two. We're going to go with the Darren Sanchez bracket. This one, again, had our first upset. Spider-Man Homecoming was our number two seed, but Doctor Strange, in our voting, upset it and went into the next round. More important film, Civil War or Doctor Strange? I think this is a very interesting question, though. I would definitely say I enjoyed Civil War on the same level as Doctor Strange. So for me, it really will come down to what's more important. For you, which film did you enjoy more?
Civil War.
Even with all the problems we went ad nauseum at last week.
Yep.
Okay.
Which movie's more important?
Yeah.
Doctor Strange.
I think it is too, right?
Because Civil War doesn't establish really anything new other than Spider-Man. It highlights the conflict between the two groups, but that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Because even if the Avengers were all together at the beginning of Infinity War, the results would have still been the same, pretty much. So, because eventually, you know, it's not like the Avengers didn't rally,
right,
get together. So, you know, and the fact that they were broken up is what stopped, is what caused the snap to happen.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. So
yeah.
I would say that Doctor Strange being there had an effect on it. I'm pretty sure that whatever vision he saw,
mm-hmm,
is going to have a big effect on Endgame. So in order for that to happen, we have to establish Doctor Strange in the first place.
Yeah.
Which means the Doctor Strange movie is more important than Civil War.
I can't disagree with any of that. We also, again, if you wanted to listen to our debate over Civil War and how it completely fell apart at the end, go check us out on youtube.com/Secrets of the Sire. Go check us out on Apple Podcasts. Download the Secrets of the Sire mobile app on Android. iPhone will be coming hopefully by next week. I think I said that last week, but waiting for some certain paperwork to come through. Apple's a lot more complicated process. than Android. Android, you could just throw anything up there. I think you're 100% correct, and I gotta say, in the spirit of what you actually argued for Guardians of the Galaxy, Doctor Strange wins out as well, because to me it had no expectations. It's Doctor Strange. It's not necessarily a character that people normally gravitate to. I know I don't normally gravitate to it, and I just thought it was a very like far out, cool, another corner that they've opened in this Marvel universe. And I think ultimately having it move on, I don't think we have any problem with that. All right, Doctor Strange goes to the final four. Boom. All right. Next bracket. This one, I think, was... I'm not sure, actually. I'm wondering which bracket out of this one or the adultish one was more stacked with just powerhouse films. Now, this one had Winter Soldier taking on First Avenger, and Winter Soldier advances. Infinity War took on Iron Man. I mean, I don't know if there's a more important film than Iron Man, basically because it started everything. I know Incredible Hulk kind of came first, or maybe, no, did Hulk come after? I don't even remember. It was just one of those films, though, that set the table for everything to come. But unfortunately...
Iron Man came first.
Right. But unfortunately, it went up against Infinity War, which is a massive accomplishment. And so Infinity War got voted into the next round. Winter Soldier versus Infinity War. I don't know if we even have much discussion here. What's more important to Avengers Endgame?
Infinity War, I guess.
But which film did you like better?
Between Avengers...
Winter Soldier. Now, I mean, let me hit pause a second. All right. This is why I'm saying we're taking in the full criteria of things. I don't want to just advance it, because theoretically speaking, there's nothing more important than Infinity War, right? Like, Endgame doesn't happen without Infinity War. However, Infinity War as a film is only important because of the Thanos mythology in it, right? I mean, if you're watching Avengers Infinity War and you haven't seen a single other MCU film, you don't know what the heck is going on. The only character that you know is Thanos, because that's his movie. We're able to actually explain a lot about his driving motivations for doing all this stuff. But you need Avengers. You need Doctor Strange. You need other films in the MCU universe to even know what Infinity War is all about. So maybe Infinity War on that level is not as important to Endgame as other films could be. I don't know if that film is Winter Soldier, but just giving kind of a broader stroke as to what the more important film is.
You asked which one was more important.
I did, yes.
And we answered that. Then you asked me which one I liked, and now you're telling me about the importance of them.
Well, I'm going back because it just struck me that as we were kind of talking.
We weren't talking. You were talking. I'm listening to you.
It struck me as you were listening to me talk that having a part one is invariably going to negate the relevance of importance when all is said and done, right? And that's not the purpose of this bracket. The purpose of the bracket really is to do a combination of things. So Winter Soldier, Infinity War, which one do you enjoy better? Which one is a better film?
Winter Soldier is a better film.
How come?
Because it's a complete story. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Okay.
Infinity War doesn't. Infinity War relies on several stories in order to lead you in, and then it doesn't have an ending. So now we can't really know whether Infinity War is a great story until you see Endgame.
Right. Right. I also could make the argument, though, that you don't even need to see Winter Soldier to have any impact on Avengers Endgame. Obviously, we haven't seen Avengers Endgame, so we don't know. But
yeah, but again, is the question which is more important, or which did I like more?
I know. Or just which is a better film overall. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I'm going to actually go and vote for Winter Soldier to move on, simply for the fact that I don't want to see the same argument next week when we talk Final Four as to who, you know, which MCU film leading up to Avengers Endgame is going to be the winner of this bracket. I kind of want to lace it with what I think is the better film. I think Winter Soldier is the better film. You agree or disagree?
I agree. I think it is the better film.
All right. So boom, we're gonna see this. That's the beauty of our show. We can just kind of do whatever the hell we want, and we're moving Winter Soldier on. All right. Final bracket. Now this one was very, very controversial. Before we even get into the final two, I had actually reseed this bracket because of the voting on Twitter. It's an imperfect science. Black Panther didn't receive a single vote in this tournament poll. Thor Ragnarok and Captain Marvel took the top two. Is that a travesty? Is that are you okay with that? I don't mean like you in general, but just like I don't mean like you specifically, but like in general, are you okay with that as a Marvel film fan?
That Black Panther didn't get any votes?
Didn't get into the final four. Didn't even get into the Elite Eight. Sorry, sports fans. There are a few of you out there, I'm sure.
It's everybody's opinion. I don't know. It doesn't reflect my opinion, but that's the whole point of this, right?
Right. It had the highest Metacritic score. It had second highest box office.
That's behind
just slightly behind. I was shocked to see.
I'm not shocked.
No?
No.
was there a petition against our poll? I can't wait till the day that our show reaches the crescendo that there's a hate group out there for us. I'm really excited about those days.
Oh man, you're gonna make it weird. That's not what I meant. But okay.
Yeah. All right. Yes. That's what
people voted against it because they were racist.
Look, right now we're a middling podcast. I want to be a slightly more than middling podcast by the time we do this again.
You got to work on your jokes then.
I don't have to work on anything, Hassan. I am brilliant.
Yes.
I am the glue.
That's why you're the main host of a middling podcast. Because you're the greatest.
Hey, we were sub-middling, and now we're middling. We've grown. Getting back to the teams, to the films that did win, Thor Ragnarok and Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. Thor Ragnarok, to me, has some importance to Avengers Endgame in that, again, it kind of expands further that cosmic outlook in the Marvel universe. But Captain Marvel, to me...
Not as important as Captain Marvel, supposedly.
Captain Marvel, though, right, is the... stirring the drink, I guess, so to speak, when all is said and done, right?
Apparently.
I enjoyed Thor Ragnarok so much more than Captain Marvel. However, I don't feel as if... I feel like as if I will enjoy Captain Marvel in a second viewing and a third viewing much more than I would enjoy Thor Ragnarok. Okay. I don't know. Like, it's all candy in Thor Ragnarok. But okay. Are we confident that Captain Marvel should move on, or are you gonna, or because I know you enjoyed Thor, you like Thor Ragnarok a lot, right?
Yes, I did.
Based purely on just what you think is a better film, what do you think should move on?
Thor Ragnarok.
Based on importance, which one?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if this is the Avengers Endgame bracket, I think we got to move Captain Marvel ahead. What do you think?
I agree.
All right.
It's
so
more important to Endgame than Thor Ragnarok.
I think there's also a lot more meat to it when all is said and done. I really do.
Everybody who's in Thor Ragnarok is not in. I mean, except for Thor and Bruce Banner, who's not even the Hulk. I'm sure he's going to Hulk out sometime during Endgame, but
yeah.
The Hulk's not even, you know, so all you got is Thor. Loki's dead. Spoiler. And we don't know what happened to Valkyrie.
Right.
You know, supposedly mm-hmm. she left with a whole bunch of Asgardians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe she'll be back, but
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. All right, my man. I think we've done it in a logical and rational way. I think that I would scream more if I had more of a voice, but that ain't happening. I think we've got our final four in the Darren Sanchez final four. Doctor Strange, a number three seed, a Cinderella story perhaps, will be taking on Winter Soldier in the Jeff Gomez, Fabian Nicieza, Starlet Runner bracket. On the other side of the board, Patch Hand is very happy. One seed Avengers taking on a number three seed, Captain Marvel. So again, we got 2-3 seeds. Captain Marvel theoretically was a 4 seed, but we left it up to the fans out there to kind of vote it in, and it got in ahead of Black Panther. So that might be the ultimate Cinderella story. We've got Avengers taking on Captain Marvel next week. We've got Winter Soldier taking on Doctor Strange. I don't know. I got to rethink this. Hang on. See, we haven't ended the episode yet. That's the beauty of this. I feel like we should put Infinity War ahead of Winter Soldier. What do you think? I think put a last second buzzer beater here. It's going against my every grain to put Winter Soldier ahead just because I didn't want Infinity War in there. But I'm thinking to myself, so here, let's go back to this bracket in a second. The reason we're saying Winter Soldier over Infinity War is I didn't want to have Winter... I didn't, you know, using the question of what is the more important film, Infinity War... We easily just take the whole thing because it's the part one of the part two that's coming out. However, I'm looking at this. Doctor Strange does add a lot to this mix. Avengers, the original Avengers, just like you said, is more important because without the original Avengers, there is no Infinity War. And Captain Marvel is the ace in the hole to Avengers Endgame and could stack up against Infinity War just as equally as anything else. I think we should do a little role reverse. I think we should pull it out and do Infinity War over Winter Soldier. But I'll leave it up to you. Should we go Winter Soldier or Infinity War? Whatever you decide, I'm okay with.
Winter Soldier over Infinity War in what category, though?
Infinity War is more important than Winter Soldier. We agreed on that. The better film is Winter Soldier over Infinity War, though.
Right.
This whole bracket is based off of what's more important. But I'm going to leave it up to you completely to just pick one.
What's more important, Avengers or Infinity War? Winter Soldier or Infinity War?
Infinity War is much more important. I don't think Winter Soldier had added anything to... You could not watch Winter Soldier...
Is that your answer? Are you answering for me?
No. You asked me a question, so I was answering.
I was clarifying what your question was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's more important? Well, actually, let me ask you this different... I have a different question for you. Is Infinity War such a clear-cut favorite, or putting that against the other three films still left in the tournament, Doctor Strange, Avengers, and Captain Marvel, is there enough of a debate for next week's Final Four if Infinity War advances?
I don't know. That's a Infinity War is more important to Endgame than Winter Soldier. I'll just agree with that.
Okay.
But, you know, is there going to be enough to debate? Why wouldn't there be? I don't know. That's a strange caveat to the question.
Well, we are a pop culture podcast, and we want to make this as interesting for our listeners as humanly possible. I'm gonna go back, and I'm gonna do a judges. Yeah, I'm doing judges overturn. I'm gonna move Infinity War ahead of Winter Soldier and put that in the final four.
Then why is anything else in there? Because basically, we don't know what Captain Marvel what kind of resolution Captain Marvel is gonna make in Endgame. So we only have her on there as a piece of importance just because of speculation, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're going to put Infinity War ahead of everything else just because it's the prior movie, then that's going to trump all other decisions anyway.
And that's what I'm afraid of.
That's why you shouldn't advance it. It was fine the way it was.
All right. Hassan has spoken. I am listening. We're going to advance Winter Soldier.
Oh my God.
The final four.
All right. Excellent. Excellent for us. Great for us.
All right. You can check out the final bracket on secretsofthesire.com. Go to twitter.com/sire_studios. You can go check us out at facebook.com/secretsofthesire, youtube.com/secretsofthesire. When we come back, we've got It Came From the Radio, Mr. Mark Torres, coming on to introduce an interview with Transformers voice actor, Mr. Greg Berger.
Hi, everyone. This is Michael Dolce, host of the Secrets of the Sire radio show and podcast, and welcome to our Patreon launch event. To date, we've interviewed actor Kevin Bacon and rocker Chris Cornell. We spent a wacky week with A Real Housewife and played Love It or Shove It with a comic book icon. We've debated which TV shows everyone should be watching and channeled our inner force comparing Rogue One to The Force Awakens. And that's just the beginning. Become an executive producer and get an exclusive feed inside our studio before and while we air. Become a program director and receive our exclusive show outline with insider details on topics and guests hours before we go live. Or just be a fan, and for a quarter of broadcast, we'll sing your praises on the interwebs every week. So if you like pop culture, movies, TV shows, and graphic novels, this is the Patreon page for you.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, streaming live, secretsofthesire.com. You can find us on YouTube at Secrets of the Sire, and you can find us on Facebook at Secrets of the Sire as well. Check us out on Twitter at Sire_Studios. We are really happy to be joined right now by a friend of the show, Mr. Mark Torres from It Came From the Radio. Mark, how you doing, sir?
I am doing well. Woohoo!
Look at you. You are high-tech, and you are here. You are kind enough to loan us an amazing interview that you got with Mr. Greg Berger, voice actor, best known for being in the Transformers show and among other things. Tell us about the interview. Tell us how you got it, and tell us, I don't know, pretty much anything that you want to tell us about this particular interview before we run it.
All right. So our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, went to the LI Geek, which is run by Ken Deep in Long Island. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole bunch of Doctor Who stuff. And Greg Berger was also there representing the rest of the pantheon of geek culture. So it's Doctor Who and then Greg. And Charlie managed to snag us an interview with him. He talks about he does a whole bunch of voices, which is really cool. And it's what he did for us.
That's very exciting. And tell our audience about It Came From the Radio and where they can find it.
Came From the Radio is the official of the Big Apple Con. We have been on the air, and our very own Hassan Godwin has migrated off to Secrets of the Sire, but he used to be on our show, was it 15 years ago, 16 years ago? It was whenever the first Daredevil movie came out. That was our first episode.
Showing his age. I love
to Google that. we're a syndicated show. We are actually on the radio. If you're in the Westchester County in New York, you can hear us on 88.1 FM. You can check us out on a whole bunch of podcast places, but we're also airing live on a web radio show called Beyond the Zone Studios, and that is every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So you can hear us there.
Very cool.
Awesome.
All right. Without further ado, here's Mr. Greg Berger.
Record over.
Yeah, this.
Do it later.
Hey, this is Charlie Saladino from It Came From the Radio. I'm here at LI Geek, and I'm very honored to be here with voice actor, multi-talented Greg Berger. How are you today, Greg?
Well, I'm not myself today. I'm beside myself. But me, Grimlock, me, Dinobot leader. So I'm happy to be at LI Geek. I'm representing the rest of the pop culture roof because it's very Doctor Who-centric here, but we're having a wonderful time, and people have been fantastic.
Greg, let me ask you something real quick. I can't even begin to list all the voiceover characters you do. I mean, you were talking G.I. Joe, Spider-Man. What was the first one, and how did you get started in this?
The first thing I did, actually, I had been seen on stage by Gordon Hunt, who was doing all of the voice direction at Hanna-Barbera at that time. He said, if you're as versatile as what we just saw on stage, we should know about you. I said, I'm ready if you are, and he had me in for, first, a very peripheral role on Care Bears, and he introduced me as one of the new kids. Within a week of that, he had me in for what they were calling the new Jetsons, and I played Curly Quasar, who had a blind date with Judy Jetson, and it still airs, and I'm part of the history and the magic of the Jetsons, and I couldn't be prouder. And within a very short time after that, because he decided there was a place for me, I auditioned for and did a series called Fantastic Max. That was the first series at Hanna-Barbera. We lost him last year, sadly, but for the rest of his life, I bowed in gratitude every time I saw him, because without, he really sort of forged the way for my career. Around the same time, I was involved with Wally Burr on what was a show called The Littles for ABC. Very neutral character, but he had seen me in the same play, and that was when he told me he was casting two big projects, one Transformers and one G.I. Joe. So those of us who are smart keep our ears open, because I believe opportunities make themselves present for everyone, and hopefully you're in the right place at the right time and have done your homework when those opportunities arise.
You are absolutely right. And then the next thing you know, you're in voice history here. It's amazing to interview you, and tell everybody where they can see you, where they can see your work, where they could get in touch with you.
I'm at Greg Berger on Twitter, and I try to keep that feed interesting. And Greg Berger Facebook. / Greg Berger on Facebook. Try to keep that interesting as well. I've just returned as the Transformers character I created 30 some odd years ago. So Grimlock is back in Power of the Primes, with Mark Hamill and Ron Perlman joining the cast. And so that is airing now. Spyro the Reignited Trilogy was just relaunched this week. Again, back as the character I originated on Garfield and Friends, and then the Garfield Show, which will, I believe, never be dead, only goes dormant from time to time like a volcano. But I'm Squeak the Mouse and Harry the Alley Cat and Herman the Mailman on the Garfield Show. We'll be back in some form somewhere. And the number of iconic characters, including Eeyore, though I'm one of the three Eeyores for Disney. So the amount of characters that I've been fortunate enough to attach my voice to that have had longevity and histories that go on and stay contemporary as well as classic, just blow my mind. How lucky am I?
Oh, my God. And how lucky am I? I feel like I just interviewed 10,000 people and one guy. Greg Berger, thank you so much, and continued luck, and we'll hear you all over the place.
My pleasure. I'll be out there. I do conventions all over the world, thanks to the good folks that invite me. Keep those cards and emails coming in. Fandom is the biggest part of the equation. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Introducing the Mainstream, created by Michael Dolce, Talent Caldwell, Tony Moy, and Darren Sanchez. It tells the story of an interdimensional police force, polices alternate realities, keeps bad guys from other worlds from getting into ours. Issue 5, in stores now. Order it at your local comic book store or go to mikebooks.com/store. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, streaming live, secretsofthesire.com. Check us out at Facebook, at Secrets of the Sire, YouTube, at Secrets of the Sire, and Twitter, at Sire_Studios. I want to thank Mr. Mark Torres from It Came From the Radio, for friend of the show, for lending us that interview that he got, which is really was fantastic, and always great to see people in the industry that we love. And Transformers, Spider-Man, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. Also want to give a shout out to our amazing patrons. We're always brought to you by our beloved patrons. New fan Craig Caruso, dedicated fans Einar Peterson, Matt Beyer, Ashley Haikai, and Omar Morales. Our program director Stephanie Dolce, and as always, our Uber fan Christina Dolce on Patreon. On Patreon, go to patreon.com/, you guessed it, Secrets of the Sire. All right, we do this every week. We go spinning the racks.
Spin the rack, spin the rack. Quack, quack, quack,
quack. Zack Snyder wants you to wake the F up and accept that Batman kills people. This is a report from io9.gizmodo.com. While answering audience questions about Watchmen during a recent event, it was filmed and posted to Reddit, Snyder described how fans still come up to him with gripes about the dark tone of his DC superhero movies and the fact that both Batman and Superman have killed people. While Snyder understands where people's objections come from, he added he really wishes everyone would wake the F up and move on already. He did not say F, by the way. I'm just trying to keep us family-friendly here. Here's his quote. Once you've lost your virginity to this fucking movie, Bing, then you come and say to me something about my superhero wouldn't do that. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like down that effing road on that. It's a cool point of view to be like, my heroes are still innocent. My heroes don't effing lie to America. My heroes don't embezzle money from their corporations. My heroes don't commit any atrocities. That's cool, but you're living in an effing dream world.
Okay, hold on. So his logic is that if you don't believe that your fantasy heroes are flawed, then you're living in a fantasy.
Yes.
He's a fucking idiot.
Bing.
I like Zack Snyder. I've liked some of his movies, but he's a jackass if that's his contention. If he says, look, my Batman, if his argument is my Batman and my Superman kill, because I'm the one who made the damn movies, and I get to decide whether they do or they don't,
yeah,
that's one thing. But if he's telling everybody else to grow up because their fantasies don't act in a fantastic way,
yeah,
then he's an idiot. That's, yeah, that's a ridiculous argument that cancels itself out. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Absurd. And he should, yeah, shut. He's, you know that there's a reason he's not making any more of these movies.
It's funny too, because at C2E2, where I lost my voice, a bunch of us, Mr. Dan Leister, who is on Hackslash, Ryan Bodenheim done some Valiant stuff, and he's at Image. We're all friends, and we were having this conversation. Talent Caldwell was part of this as well too. We were walking to a restaurant. We were having this debate about Batman movies and how Batman has killed before in other Batman movies, not just Zack Snyder's.
Yes, I mean, he has.
In, what was it, Batman Forever or Batman Returns, whatever it was.
Batman Returns, he put, yeah, dynamite down someone's pants and kicked them into a manhole. And
yeah.
Yeah, but, and then also in The Dark Knight, or either, yeah, it's The Dark Knight. He's running, mm-hmm, around on the Batpod blowing up cars. He doesn't know if anybody's asleep in their car.
Right. And so you can make that argument that he's right in that sense that, yeah, because there's circumstantial things that can happen. There's also, inadvertent, consequences to actions. I mean, I think in the article themselves, they said, a bunch of people get hit by a car, there's chaos and destruction, so people end up dying regardless. So
the entirety of the Dark Knight movie is collateral damage of people, right, dying because Batman exists.
Right.
One of the reasons I'm kind of against that movie,
right,
like it has a tremendously flawed mixed message.
Right.
But if the character himself says, look, I don't kill, then that's the bottom line. That's who Batman is in that incarnation.
If, right.
If Ben Affleck's Batman decides he kills,
right,
then that's who Ben Affleck's Batman is in that iteration. And the fans decide which one they like more.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. But to say you're being naive because your fantasies wouldn't act in a fantasy way is completely, it's asinine.
Yeah.
That's asinine.
But there's also a part though in the Snyder films too though, where he just seems to take Batman to a level that he shouldn't in terms of the killing. It's like Ben Affleck is in the Batmobile and he's video game killing people at that point. And it just didn't feel right. Like,
well, he's going off of the Dark Knight, and the Dark Knight in Frank Miller's Dark Knight, he killed quite a few people.
Yeah, so, it still didn't feel the same. It felt a little different. I mean, Superman no killing. I mean that's crossing a line for even.
Well,
you know, he the fantasy kill, aspects.
He did kill Zod and Ursa and Nan in Superman 2, quite vividly. So, you know, he threw him in death. Threw him down a bottomless pit in the middle of the North Pole, after they were mortal. So I don't think they recovered from that. You know, so I mean, Superman every now and then he did snuff someone in the not the Richard Donner one, but in the
okay.
the De Laurentiis incarnation of
okay.
like, you know, Superman 2, whatever. He did a lot of shady stuff in there. And there was a lot of terrible stuff in those movies anyway. I mean, I'm a fan of those movies because I grew up with them, but there's a lot. I mean, like the cellophane S coming off his chest and you know, the white laser beams that he's firing out of his hands. It's just kind of like, what kind of nonsense is this? But that was Richard Donner or De Laurentiis' incarnation
right.
of Superman.
Right.
And in that incarnation, Superman did kill and had white lasers and could pull a cellophane S off his chest. That's none of these things are real. They're fantasy.
Right.
So they could be whatever you want them to be.
Right.
And we as a collective hive mind get to decide which one we like more or less. I can say any day of the week, my Batman doesn't do any of the stuff that happens in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't. That just means I just choose to get off the boat at that
right.
point.
Right.
But to tell people that they're being naive is stupid. You know? It's stupid. You're being naive. You're reading Alice in Wonderland and you don't believe that, you know, that pills can make people big or small. You're an idiot. No, I'm reading Alice in Wonderland. That's all. I've decided whether I want to believe in it or not. That it's that argument is absurd. I've never heard anything that dumb in my life before. He's trying to get back on into the mainstream by being controversial and making an inflammatory statement so that he'll get a lot of clickbait and then someone to throw a movie at him.
Well, his next movie is going to be debuting on Netflix. That is actually official. We've had a tremendous show tonight.
Is that a step up from...
Netflix is the shiz now. It's the shiz.
It's the shiz, but is that a step up from Justice League? From doing a movie called Justice League to doing a Netflix movie?
There are so many steps above the Justice League movie.
No, I'm not talking about the movie itself. I'm talking about the prestige of directing. Yeah, then don't mince my words then,
I know.
If you know. Stop it. All right,
We've had a tremendous show. Hassan got all of his frustrations out in that last segment,
which I think
is always great.
Not at all.
Next week, we've got our final four. Plus, we're going to do a little preview of a tiny little movie called Shazam.